Let's come to our God now in prayer and ask for his blessing on his word. Let's pray. O Lord, our Savior, we rejoice before you. Blessed are all who have their transgressions forgiven and whose sins are covered. You've blessed all those to whom you do not impute iniquity. As we come into your presence again, may we be filled with an unfeigned and holy joy that overflows in thankfulness and praise. As you've delivered us from our transgressions and sins, you've purified us by the blood of Christ. Your wrath has been appeased, and we no longer stand as condemned enemies before you, but we come to you as your beloved sons and daughters. Grant that we may worship this afternoon in spirit and in truth. Bless your word to us and to our hearts, and bless your servant in proclaiming your word as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're up to the fifth commandment in Lord's Day 39, so I ask you to turn first to that. On page 891 at the back of the Trinity Psalter Hymnal. Lord's Day 39. We have one question and answer there. Again, found on page 891. And we'll do this responsively. So the question there is, what is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? That I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother and all those in authority over me, submit myself with proper obedience to all their good teaching and discipline, and also that I be patient with their failings, for by their hand God wills to rule us. And we'll turn to two passages in the Bible. One to the Old Testament and one to the New. First of all, from Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verses 18 to 21. And then from Romans 13, 1 to 7. And you'll find that on page 226 of the black covered Pew Bible. So Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verses 18 to 21. Hear now God's holy word. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city, and they shall say to the elders of his city, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." And then also from Romans chapter 13 and verses 1 to 7, you'll find that on page 1306 of the Pew Bible. Romans 13 verses 1 to 7. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authorities? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And that concludes the reading of God's holy word. May he bless that in our hearing this afternoon. Well, our text this afternoon will not be just one particular passage, although we'll be focusing mainly on the commandment itself and other passages that speak to it. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, why should children obey parents? The answer to that is pretty simple. Children are to obey parents, and parents must insist on obedience and respect because God says so. A simple reason, and yet quite clearly, it is a command that is not being followed. Sadly, rebelling against parents and those in authority has become a common sin. Many historians believe that a significant shift in North American attitudes toward authority took place in the 1960s. This was the time of the anti-establishment. Young people were anti-business, anti-government, anti-military, and anti-school. But of all the institutions that came under attack, perhaps the most significant was the family. Annie Gottlieb is one of many participants who identify with the 60s as the generation that destroyed the family. She writes, quote, "We might not have been able to tear down the state, but the family was closer. We could get our hands on it, and we believed that the family was the foundation of the state as well as the collective state of mind. We truly believed that the family had to be torn apart to free love, which alone could heal the damage done when the atom was split to release energy. And the first step was to tear ourselves free from our parents." What makes Gottlieb's analysis so chilling is the connection she draws between the family and the state. She's right. The way to destroy a nation is to destroy the family. And the way children can destroy the family is by disobeying their parents. The Bible has a deep revulsion for this kind of disrespect. Here are two examples of that. We read in, for example, the Old Testament law, Leviticus 20, verse 9 says, "If anyone curses his father and mother, he must be put to death. He has cursed his father and his mother, and his blood will be on his own head." Also, the passage that we read from earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 21. True, we are living in a New Testament era, but God has not changed. This is true even if the Old Testament penalties for breaking this commandment are no longer in effect. In the New Testament, disobedience to parents is listed as one of the signs that we are living in terrible times and in the last days. But over against this drift of modern thinking, the Word of God in the fifth commandment is open to us, to both young and old. In the Lord's tender care for His children, He tells us to honor our father and our mother. And He adds a promise to that, that obedience to this command leads to a long life on this earth. And so we'll look at this commandment this afternoon with four questions. First, who are your father and your mother? Secondly, how do you honor them? Thirdly, are there limits to our obedience to this commandment? And then fourthly, what does this honoring practically look like? So first of all, who are your father and your mother? Well, I would think it's obvious to all our children here today who their father and their mother are. Children and young people, you're likely sitting beside them today. In a normal situation, a little child will very easily look up to his parents, thinking them to be the best. That feeling doesn't last. As children go older, They realize that their parents have faults. How they deal with those faults, we'll get to later on. But they are your parents. They provide care, which includes a number of things. Home, food, drink, shelter, clothing, schooling. As long as necessary, until the day comes when children become old enough to provide for themselves. The commandment specifically says both father and mother. The Old Testament doesn't actually have a word called parents. You don't see that until you get into the New Testament. In the Greek, we read about the parents of Jesus taking him to the temple shortly after his birth. But we could be thankful here that the law does spell out both parents, father and mother. Your mother has to be treated with the same kind of respect as your father, even though she might be, physically speaking, the weaker parent, and that she may be less able to enforce her word. She is to be shown honor. Equal honor is to be given to both father and mother. Why should we honor our parents? Is it only because parents care for us, or is it because they're flesh and blood? Well, there is some weight to this. There's already a natural relationship toward father and mother. Jesus called that a natural love. For example, we read in Matthew 5, he said, "For if you love those who love you, what reward will you have? Because even the tax collectors do the same." Calvin refers to that as according to nature. That nature already shows us the child's natural duty toward his father and his mother. There might be that day when our parents no longer care for us. It's possible. It does happen. May we then stop honoring them? Well, the Bible explains and summarizes in Lord's Day 32 that it pleases God to govern us by their hand. God himself decreed who would be our parents. There's a sovereign aspect to the place that God has given, that God has given us under our parents. They are a decree of God. And that means that God pleases to rule us under their hand. In order to appreciate that rich blessing, think of how difficult it would be for us to have no parents at all. Where would you be then? For one, we wouldn't be here, but for another, neither would we receive any care. Sometimes you hear young people wrongfully complain to others, it's not my fault that I have my parents. Or I didn't ask them to be my parents. It's true. You may not have had a choice in the matter of parents, but consider that God already knew who your parents would be beforehand. If God decreed it, then we have the Lord to thank. According to His will, they are called to direct your lives. And there are other authorities in the world besides parents. The Bible also speaks of the authority of the church, as the Lord Jesus Christ has set up there to be overseers within the church, elders and pastors. There is this authority to preach the word. The authority given by Christ is to bring his word to the people. That's how the church is ruled under King Jesus, by authoritatively bringing and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and calling all listeners to repentance, faith, and obedience. The church also has that authority to discipline the members that King Jesus has put under her care, to admonish, to call to repentance, to excommunicate if necessary the unrepentant, and to restore those who are repentant. We could talk about other relationships where God governs us by those who he places over us. The employer-employee relationship. The teacher-student relationship. the fifth commandment addresses those as well, to honor those who are in authority. The state also has a form of authority. Romans 13, Paul taught that the government authorities have been appointed by God. He even calls them God's servant. God has ordained kings. Kings would include prime ministers and civil officers, premiers and presidents, whom he calls to govern by laws and policies so that the sinfulness of man will be restrained and things be conducted in our country in good order. God has even given them the sword to punish the evildoer. Now, in general, the government does not acknowledge that they have their authority from God. The government, of course, thinks that they have their mandate from the people because it's the people who have elected them. Therefore, they follow the voice of the people, and it seems at times that they follow only certain voices that fit their agenda. But when it comes down to it, God mandates them. He tells them how they are to rule, and those in authority ought to realize this. And we need to realize that too. Now that might seem like a hard thing, especially when the national news comes out with stories about government scandals and indicting testimonies in justice committee meetings. It's very concerning. But what does the Lord call us to do? The Bible says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. Show proper respect to everyone, fear God, and honor the king. 1 Peter 2. Today, that means respecting officers of the law and representatives of the state. It means praying for politicians. It means obeying the laws of the government and paying our taxes. In all these ways, we are called to submit to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established, Romans 13, verse 1. That means to refrain from name-calling and speaking dishonorably about those in authority. That's a sin to do that. But it does not mean we can't speak against the wrongdoings of the day or call our leaders to account, because they are accountable to God. We're to bear patiently with their weaknesses and shortcomings, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Well, how do you honor your parents? That's our second question. Times have changed. It used to be that children addressed their parents with much more respect than now. In our society, we see increasingly parents relating to their children as equals or as peers. And even being encouraged to relate to their children as equals or as peers, to be buddies to them, rather than those who are in authority. And this is not only bad for the children, it's bad for the structure of society. Times have changed, yes, but God's word hasn't. Children are to honor their parents. And this is not the first time we've considered that biblical meaning of the word honor. When looking at the law, the Hebrew word kabod means glory, and it has the connotation of heaviness or weightiness. God's name is heavy because it signifies his character as one who is to be glorified, and therefore honor belongs to God. Well, the Lord uses the word kabod in regard to the honor that children are to give to their parents. The opposite of this would be to treat a parent or someone in authority as if their weightiness and authority are light. We read what is to happen to a son who curses his father and his mother. In biblical terms, this is indecent, even despicable. If honor is not given to parents, then figuratively speaking, it's like a little child sticking out his tongue at his parents, as if he views them as nothings. However, it does not matter how society may stick out its tongue at authority. It doesn't matter if a church member may put down his elders. It doesn't matter how poorly a young person thinks of his parents. All these things don't change the fact that the glory of parents remains. They are given that place of honor by God. Even when parents can no longer function because of poor health, we must still continue to respect them. Not euthanize them, as society says, but honor them. For that's what the Word of God says, which does not fade away. And there's one more reason to keep the fifth commandment, and it may be the most important of all, because parents have that God-given responsibility to teach their children how to know and serve the Lord. But children will not learn those lessons if they do not respect their parents. And so, keeping the fifth commandment is essential to God's plan of passing down the faith. Of all the ways children honor their parents, the most important is listening to what God says to them in His Word. And also that they hear about the way of salvation in Jesus Christ. That's important. Well, we go on to ask the third question, are there limits in our obedience to this commandment? Must children obey parents in everything? They are to be obedient to their parents, but there are limits. If they tell a child to do something that is contrary and against the Word of God, a child should refuse, because we must obey God rather than men. In the same way, a Christian may be required to withhold his obedience to the government. Our objective is always to obey the Lord. That may mean that we lose our privileges under those we serve. But I want to zone in here upon parents. In essence, this is a question which could be stated as, what about the exceptions? And that's what we always want to go. That's where we always want to go, isn't it? What about those situations where you've got parents that are dealing with you wrongly? Well, just like the Sabbath, we need to be careful that we see the big picture of the command and the main reason why we're not to be like the Pharisees. The typical questions of a Pharisee is, when does God's law not apply? Where are the loopholes? When do I have to do what God has said in the Word? And when can I get away with something? We shouldn't be so quick to run to those. But here there are exceptions. There are abusive parents. There are parents that call on you to do things that are contrary or against God's Word. There may be parents who've been extremely neglectful and incompetent. They may have actually abandoned you in one way or another. How do you deal respectfully in that situation? How do you uphold this command? Well, you're not to think that the failure of a parent alleviates all obligations on your part to think through this commandment carefully. There are ways of respecting the authority of a position without approving wrong behavior. We read in Colossians 3 that children are to obey their parents in the Lord. And that phrase, in the Lord, is interesting because it sets the limit. We must obey in the Lord. They must be doing things quite wrong before we refuse to obey them. But in the Lord also tells us how Jesus Christ himself obeyed. Jesus would have spotted the sins and faults of his parents better than any of us can spot the faults in our own parents. Furthermore, Jesus must have suffered under his parents more than we ever could. Yes, as young as he was, he did not dishonor them. In fact, we read in Luke chapter 2 that he was subject to them. Jesus had to manage honoring his parents in situations that were difficult, and yet he was patient under them. And that says a lot to us today in how we deal with those over us who God has placed over us. Parents also should not expect the same obedience from their grown children as they did when they were young. We see a divine design in the book of Genesis that when a man leaves his father and his mother and cleaves to his wife, they become what? They become one flesh. Even in the ancient world where people were often living under one roof and would certainly live in very close quarters, there still was this whole matter of leaving and cleaving. And that applies in the same way. When a mom is in her 50s, she can't be expecting her 25-year-old daughter to listen to everything she says. Like, you must do this and you must do that with your children. And hear all the things that you're doing wrong. And have her simply say, okay, mom. There are limits. There are times when a parental authority is not absolute. So it leads us to the fourth question. What does this honoring practically look like? Well, there are several aspects to honoring parents. Honor means receiving instruction. To honor is to listen. And listening, children, doesn't just mean I do what my parents say when I'm good and ready to. Listening means hearing them and doing what they say. It means that children will take their parents' words to heart. It may not be possible for a mother to explain to a child why some things can't be touched. But the heart of the matter is a child who is told not to touch the wood stove, but does it anyway. His disobedience ends up bringing a burn. Foolishness has to be driven out of a child. Of the heart of a child. And therefore discipline is needed with instruction so that a child may go in the right way. Obedience has to come from the heart. It can't just be an obedience in a sullen and resentful way. The Lord says that children open their hearts to their parents. And that has something to say to us about communication. Like when you say, yes, mom, or yes, dad, when they ask you to do something around the house. Yes, mom, I will sweep the floor. Yes, dad, I will clean my room without fussing and complaining, doing it with gladness. Such a sweet sound. It's music in the living room and in the kitchen. Or to say, thank you, dad, or thank you, mom. It's a pretty simple thing to say, but it goes a long ways. And again, it's like music in a parent's ears to hear your child say, thank you. Or to say, I'm sorry. It's probably one of the hardest things to say. I'm sorry. But don't do what some people do when they really don't mean it. I'm sorry if you were offended. I'm sorry if you were offended by that. Or I'm sorry, but what you did was far more wrong. Just say, I'm sorry. I should not have done that. I should have known better. And there's a need also to say hello. To pick up the phone and call parents who may be not close to home. Send them a text. Send them a picture. Make a point of trying to be there for the holidays. That's not always possible. But do your best. Again, we need to keep the communication. It means the world to a parent when you just say hello. For some of us, that may be a start. Pick up the phone and say, we haven't talked in a few weeks. How are you? Communicating. So important. For young people, this involves the advice they receive. It's interesting, if you consult some of the older commentaries on the fifth commandment, you will find repeated discussion about the task of parents with respect to the choice of a marriage partner. Often today there can be conflicts between parents and children about marriage plans or of a certain person they want to be with. But let me tell you, young people, you can save yourself a lot of grief and a lot of wasted years in your youth by receiving the advice of your parents in regard to a girl or a guy that maybe you may be interested in. They're there to help you. If they warn about a certain person or don't approve of a certain person you're thinking of marrying, take that advice to heart. Obviously, that doesn't mean absolute parental control. Nowadays, at least in our own circles, we don't have the practice of parents choosing marriage partners for their children, but they still have the right to be involved in that choice. If you think of how the Bible, especially in Proverbs, describes how children are inexperienced and need the guidance of their fathers, we can apply in a concrete way how fathers are to be involved in their choice of their children's marriages. And I say fathers here because they are the heads of the home. We're thinking here in terms of guarding against mixed marriages. Obviously as well, it could be that a child has made a good choice which the parents have wrongly opposed. A son or a daughter can go ahead with the marriage arrangement if it is right before the Lord. Honor also means showing deference toward parents. There's to be a respect. In the Bible, Rachel addressed her father as my Lord. Solomon, as a young man, bowed down before his mother when he went to visit her. Now, there are certain customs, obviously, that maybe don't apply to us. For example, you don't have the custom like you have down south here, where children say yes, sir, or no, sir, to their father. These things are cultural and could be argued that these types of formalities can be obeyed in just an external way. But again, the Lord is looking at the heart. Yes, there is that need for politeness and using good manners, like saying please and thank you. The externals are important, but so is the heart. And I could give examples in my past of how deference was not shown to those who were over me. But I will say that a person who is consistently lippy or sassy in their speech to parents, or a person who is sullen, who sits at the dinner table with an angry face, that person has a deep, sinful and moral problem, spiritual problem. A person who can, without the slightest qualm of their conscience, disobey parents has a deep moral and spiritual problem to be dealt with. The problem isn't just lack of respect. The problem is their hearts. And if you're like that, young people, deal with your heart. Deal with that sin. Turn to the Lord and ask for His forgiveness, but also apologize to your parents. And know that the grace of God is offered to you freely in Jesus Christ. And honor, furthermore, includes loving them. Loving them. The Bible doesn't explicitly say that children must love their parents. It comes from the general rule for loving our neighbor as ourselves, which is the summary of the law. It's said, and rightly so, that many parents bend over backwards for their children. And that's a wonderful thing in the sight of the Lord. The reverse is far more difficult, however, for children to bend over backwards for their parents. And so it's true that times have changed. Some would consider honoring those in authority old-fashioned. This is from the past. Why are we doing this? This is from the past. This is old-fashioned. But the command, it's not out of date. It rings with a promise, a reward to those who follow it, so that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And that doesn't necessarily mean you will live well. It does mean, however, that the Lord will bless the lives of those who have respect for authority, which God has ordained. Anyone who honors his parents will receive benefits, benefits that apply to the here and now. It brings blessing and contentment and peace. But the benefits apply to the future and the life that is to come, because citizenship is not attached to the land of Israel. Our citizenship is in heaven. The reward is both for today and for the future. So how then will you keep this commandment? Honor your father and your mother, that you may live long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Well, like with all commands, we fail, we sin, we have our shortcomings. And it's a reminder to us again today that we're not saved by our good works. Our good works aren't good enough. We need again to be reminded of the gospel and of Jesus Christ, who has fulfilled the law. He's kept that law. He's kept it totally and completely. And our lives are nothing apart from him. We need his mercy shown to us once again today. If you've broken God's commandment today, confess your sin to the Lord. But rely once again on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Because we have no hope apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's come to our God in prayer. Merciful and gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the commandments. Thank you for the fifth commandment, the first commandment in the second table of the law. And for what it says to us, what it says to our children and youth, what it says to all of us, both young and old. Help us, Lord, to honor our father and our mother. And forgive us for our sins, Lord. Prick our hearts with your Holy Spirit if this is not happening. And may we confess our sins to you and seek reconciliation where there might be that need. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.